Thank you. Good evening. This is the time and place for the duly advertised continued public hearing on a conditional use application filed by National Land Developers LLC.
Who's feeding that?
Too close. Who's that? My name is Lee Stinnett. I'm special counsel for the Milford Township Board of Supervisors. In this matter, my role tonight is strictly to advise the board of all regarding the application before it and help to move this hearing along. Tonight's hearing is being recorded by a stenographer on her behalf. I'll ask that as we proceed tonight, only one person should speak at a time. I'd also ask that the audience not interrupt the testimony. If you have an issue, raise your hand. Once there's a break, I'll try to address it, but we'd like to save that for a later time. That would strictly be issues hearing or anything like that. When you come up to speak as a witness, please give your first and last name, spell your last name, and speak clearly. And I'd also ask that the attorneys and the witnesses not speak over one another. As I've said at each of these hearings, you'll probably get tired of hearing it. There will be a time for public comment during this process. I do not anticipate that it will be tonight. However, if there is a time for public comment, please keep it brief. I have one housekeeping item for tonight. That is the proofs of publication for public notice for tonight's hearing. The hearing was advertised twice on August 13th and August 17th in the newspapers of general circulation here in Milford Township. And those will be marked board exhibit 5. When we continued the hearing last month, counsel for the authority was cross-examining the applicant's witness, Mr. Brian Moore. But before we begin that, I believe that there is a procedural issue raised by the authority's counsel that we should address at the outset of next hearing.
Yes, I sent the motion by email because I thought that was the fastest way to get to the board. I found out a couple of days later that Lee, the email to you was kicked back. So obviously in the string, there is a mistake on your email address. So we need to correct that for any future communications. And of course, email being what it is, I don't find out about that until 2 days later. I did enter a motion before the body, and the concern is that there are technical reports that have been suggested by the applicant that they are going to offer in evidence as part of Dr. Cook's report. These reports were, number one, not filed with the township when the application was originally filed. Number two, they were not filed so that the Planning Commission would have an opportunity to review it, and so that the township engineer would have an opportunity to review it, and any other experts that the township feels appropriate should review it before we even initiate these proceedings. But being as it may, one of the alternatives I offered was that we consider this an amended application. In viewing this from the point of view of the township and the Milford Water Authority, I recognize that that is the least likely of the three to be followed. But there are two that I think are appropriate, and that is that the proceedings after the completion of Mr. Orem's testimony be suspended to send these documents to the Township Planning Commission so they can review it, so that the applicant has an opportunity to appear before the Planning Commission to offer any additional information they might have about these documents, and that we not be placed in this position again. Because the information that comes before the township and to the other parties should not come in dribs and drabs as we continue through this process. There has to be some cutoff point where what is presented is the application, and not significant changes as additional items come in. We're not talking about a document here that corrects some language in a previous report, or says that we want to amend the conclusion that we reached in the previous report. These are new reports, okay? These are dated, if I recall correctly, August 8th and August 21st. And I believe when the
Case reports are,
I could be off by a couple of days. So these are new reports. These are reports from this month, from August of 2023. So we think it appropriate that it go before the Planning Commission. Mr. Dan Louvenay was generous enough to indicate that in the event that he didn't agree to the other relief that I requested in the motion, that he would agree that I don't have to begin my cross-examination of Dr. Cook until the meeting after he completes his direct testimony. I think that's fair, and I appreciate Mr. Van Louvenay saying that. But there's a major procedural issue here in that the Planning Commission has not seen the additional items that have come before the board since these proceedings have begun. And there's more than one that they have not seen. So either the Planning Commission has no purpose, which we know by law is not the case, or you can circumvent, and I'm not suggesting that this was done maliciously, you can simply circumvent the Planning Commission by waiting to present things until you get before the Board of Supervisors in a conditional use hearing. That's not how the procedure works. So our request is that the proceedings be suspended, that these reports, any new reports, be sent to the Planning Commission for review. Certainly could indicate to the Planning Commission that we would request that they expedite their review, but then a report comes then back to the Board of Supervisors so that we can then proceed.
Applicants Council.
Well, you have my response in the form of a letter that I sent dated August 28th that I think everyone has had a chance to review. There is a difference between an amendment to an application and evidence in support of an application. I've bent over backwards here to try to provide information in advance of testimony to facilitate cross-examination if that's possible. But these reports do not in any way amend our application. They're reports that were commissioned by my client, National Land, to assist Mr. Gable in his engineering of this site. Although they, as I indicated in my email that I sent, I think it was yesterday, following the email of Mr. Pinchot, who filed with you, Dr. Cook will tell you when he testifies, he reviewed the reports, but they didn't have any impact on his testimony. But he'll tell you that. These are just factual reports. They are testaments. They don't change the nature of what we're requesting in this application, or they supplement or in any way amend the application. As we get information, positions, we attended a supervisor's meeting, we attended a Planning Commission meeting, we've seen a Planning Commission review all since we filed the application. We are attempting, in the course of this hearing, to address as many of the issues that were raised during those proceedings in our testimony, although we anticipate that the objectors are probably going to offer their own testimony, it's what they offer that we really have a burden to rebut. We're providing additional information because you have heard positions taken by Mr. Claymore, Mr. DiBiase, as to what's relevant here. Mr. DiBiase likes to put the rabbit in the hat and say, we know we have a problem. Well, we don't know it yet, in theory, because we haven't heard the testimony from Mr. DiBiase or any of the other objectors to see specifically what it is that we have to rebut. Nevertheless, right now we're just presenting our case in support of our application, which was a one-page form that the township has online. Mr. Gable was kind enough to provide in his May 4th cover letter, sending that one-page application in, an enumeration of a number of reports that would be offered later on through testimony. That was Mr. Gable's word in his letter. The township accepted the application, and we've proceeded to have hearings. After the first hearing, we agreed to defer the second hearing until after the Planning Commission had a chance to formally review and issue a recommendation, which it did. That's its function. If the Planning Commission were a party to this proceeding, and maybe it is, I don't know who officially you represent, Mr. Magnata, but the Planning Commission would have the opportunity, presumably, to put on rebuttal testimony also, if it chose to. But it doesn't mean we have to go back to the Planning Commission every time one of my witnesses t- testifies to a report during the course of his testimony. That's just not how it works.
See, Mr. DiBiase, are there any other parties to the conditional use hearing in attendance? Seeing none, Mr. DiBiase.
Could I comment on what counsel said, what you've done with the other?
Sure. Mr. DiBiase, do you have any input on this issue?
I think it's unfair to the parties to this conditional use, that we are subject to, at any moment, you could get a whole influx of documents without any warning, without any consideration for review. We all got this. Remember now, one of my concerns was this was in the summer when people were on vacation. And so here people are in late August, and we come and we see that we have all these documents dumped on us at the last minute, 3 working days before this hearing. Now, how are we supposed to rightfully question Mr. Cook when he talks about these studies? How are we supposed to come up with relevant questions when we don't even have time? And I put in my email to you guys that I don't think it's following the code of PA, the planning code, because the planning code says that the 60-day clock starts when the application is completed. Now, was the application completed? And why are we adding to the application? That's a question I have for the board. And then the other, you know, it's just unfair. And as a protester, we have the opportunity to respond to these documents. And how can we respond if we don't have proper ability to review? Because he's going to be talking about them tonight. So I'm saying, how can we respond to something he's going to talk about tonight if we don't have the ability to review?
You had something else?
Yes, I just wanted to respond to counsel. Counsel has indicated that he doesn't believe that these new reports have any bearing on Dr. Cook's testimony. However, the Planning Commission may reach a conclusion that the report should have a bearing on Dr. Cook's testimony. Or we may believe, that the reports should have a bearing on Dr. Cook's testimony. So the fact that the applicant has reached that conclusion is not dispositive of what we have to deal with here. And again, if the Planning Commission has a purpose, it is to deal with all these nuts and bolts before the zoning decision matter comes before the Planning Commission. One of the things they objected to was that they didn't get the reports they asked for. So now we get a report that the Planning Commission hasn't seen.
So I'm going to deny the motion on the basis of, you know, the township's conditional use application is the application. It was submitted, it was accepted by the township. Under the MPC, a township is required to hold a conditional use hearing. The word hearing has a special meaning in the legal world. A hearing is for the purpose of obtaining testimony from witnesses. And in that process in the court system, you often have expert witnesses who produce expert reports, and then they are questioned on those reports at a hearing such as this. Here we have another obligation whereby the applicant is required to come to the hearing, put forth testimony, so I can and the board can create findings of fact. This is an effort to allow me and the witnesses to provide that evidence that I need to create those findings of fact, and quite frankly, this is a common occurrence in conditional use hearings. Actually, everyone I've ever been a part of has involved reports being submitted during the pendency. One thing that I do not know that Mr. DiBiase is aware of, the applicant has agreed to allow cross-examination of the witness subject to these reports at the next hearing. And based on schedules, that's going to be probably 6 weeks out. So that gives 6 weeks for the parties to review the materials, prepare their cross-examination of the witness that those materials are relevant to, and to cross-examine that witness. And I think that takes care of any concerns of prejudice You will have the opportunity to, one, hear his testimony about his reports, read his reports, spend time in digesting those reports, and then building your cross-examination, which you would not typically be able to do in this type of proceeding. So I actually think that the offer by the applicant is takes care of those prejudice issues and really provides a better opportunity to prepare your cross-examination of the witness. I would ask that in the future, if the applicant could, get these types of documents to us a little bit sooner so we can all digest them.
If you notice the date on these reports, I got them to you within 2 days of the date I received them. So I think that's fairly timely. We wanted to read them before we sent them on, but that's about all we did.
So on that, I think we can continue to cross-examination of Mr. Long.
One more housekeeping issue, if I might.
Sure.
Mr. Stinnett. There are a couple of obvious typographical errors in the transcript, and I wanted to know whether you wanted to do that on the record, whether you wanted me to send in a brief rap sheet, because one of them, for example, Mr. Oram was talking about his business, and the word in the transcript is escort. And I don't think he's ever been in the escort business. He said S-Corp, but he came across as escort. That's one example. There's another one where the word bedroom should have been bedrock. I mean, they're obvious. There's nothing there. I don't think anyone's going to have a problem with them. But,
I think, and I'll check with the parties, I would suggest maybe we do a errata sheets once the transcripts are
That's
received.
That's what I thought.
And then at the outset of the hearing, we can go through those errata sheets at the outset of the next hearing, go through those errata sheets.
I'm not going to correct anything. There's always a few small things that don't matter, but some of these just don't make a lot of sense in the transcript. So.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. Any issues?
I don't see any reason why we have to do it now. That's why I was asking. Okay, we'll do that subsequently.
Okay. Yeah, let me ask. Do you have the transcript of Mr. Orm's testimony over there?
Yep.
Okay. Does Mr. Orm have one to refer to, or?
He's going to have mine to refer to. I think I gave him one, too. Yeah, he's got it. He has it.
All right. Does the township have one?
Yes.
You do? Do you have his testimony from the last hearing?
I don't know.
If you have extras, I think some of the board is missing copies.
We have electronic copies, but we didn't bring them with us in hard copy form.
We'll send you the bill.
We can give them back to you at the end of the year. Take
what am I going
to
do with them? So I have to cross out all the questions I had about Mr. Orm and his escort service. That was a waste of about an hour.
For that. For the record, it went bankrupt. Day two.
All right, Mr. Orm, would you go to page 27 of your testimony at the previous hearing?
Would you know what page it is in the transcript of the hearing? Because Mr. Orff's testimony, I think, started at page 50-something.
Oh, okay. See, I have just a transcript of Mr. Orff's testimony.
Well, I have a transcript of the hearing.
All right.
Assuming that's probably what Mr.
So,
Stinnett has.
How are we going to handle this? Do we need to get one of those, too?
Help if I get one to the witness. Do it that way. Help. Bob's got it already, so okay. Here you are, Mr. Orr.
Thanks. Is this my copy?
No. It's your copy to refer to.
Wait, let me see what this is. I guess this raises another question. Is what is going to be the official transcript? I mean, the one that I was sent is a transcript of Mr. King's cross-examination and Mr. Orm's direct, which I assume is going to be the official transcript, not the half-partial transcript.
Yes.
So we're going to have an issue figuring out if he talks about page 27 of his testimony, there's no comfortable way to get there.
All right. Well, we were not made aware of the fact that official transcripts were being prepared for the township? Is that who engaged Penco to do the transcript, and that we could then buy copies of that? We went directly to Penco because nobody told us that it was being transcribed, and that all you had to do was pay the stenographer's fees for an additional copy. We certainly would have done that if we had known about it, but nobody said anything. I had no idea this was taking place until the council just said that.
Excuse me, someone called our office and asked specifically only for Mr. Oram's
testimony. Yeah, that was us.
And right. I, at the end of the last hearing, asked the stenographer to prepare I would like a copy of the transcript. I just assumed in due course they're always provided to the township and I pay for mine.
I think the official transcript is the one that the court reporter provided to the township and the applicant at the request. I would suggest that perhaps going forward, all parties ask for the same transcript from the court reporter.
We may be able to work it out here.
We certainly would be happy to do that now that we know that procedure is in place.
I got mine through right to know. So I did a right to know form in Milford Township, and Chahan, and then sent me the transcript. So is this the transcript or not?
Well, that bypasses the court reporter. The court reporter gets paid by giving transcripts to people and getting paid for it, not everybody making photocopies. And that's just not fair. That's the court reporter's business.
Correct. Going forward, parties, you need to work with the court reporter to get the official transcript.
Page 73.
In the proper chain.
Right. Are we doing all this on record? At least the pages here.
Okay, so page 27 for me is Brian Orton's testimony. And at the top of the page, there's one word that says disposal. And then there's a question, and is that what makes them suitable, the type of soil or how fast the water drains through them?
All right, that's page 74 in the official transcript.
Line 13.
Line 13. That question, Mr. Claymore, just
Line 13.
Line 13 on page 74 of the transcript.
So even the pages are going to be different.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's line 2 on mine, and it's line 13 on yours.
Well,
yeah, because it was only an excerpt, so everything's going to change. That. Everything will change.
I understand that.
Lining.
I thought you started a new witness on a new page. All right, are we okay proceeding with two different kinds of transcripts?
I think what we'll do, you tell us where you're at. We'll try to coordinate with the applicant's counsel to figure out the correct page or line number.
Okay, I was trying to make this easy, and obviously I made it more difficult, but if we had known, we wouldn't have had any difficulty. Okay, so in my transcript, it's page 27, line 6, and the statement starts with these soils. The limited condition was the presence. Mr. Orham, do you see that?
That's actually.
It's the second sentence into your response.
What page is that in the transcript?
Page 74, line 17. These soils, comma, the limiting condition.
Okay. So, you said at the location I pointed out, these soils, the limiting condition was the presence of very gravelly, sandy loam, which was loose, which means that if you put water into that layer, it would move very fast. Did I read it accurately?
It actually says move too fast.
You're correct. Move too fast. Okay. So the too fast movement would be within the sand and gravel aquifer, would it not?
No.
It wouldn't. Where would it be?
That deposit's not an aquifer. There's no water in it. It's dry. It's just a
geological deposit, and in that case, it's also a soil. So there's no water there, it's not an aquifer, it doesn't produce any water, doesn't store any water, just vertically transmit the water.
Okay, thank you, sir. Now, page, in my transcript, page 37, line 24. And you said, so petrochemicals would be the big thing. And if you could coordinate that with what it is in, what is the official transcript? Of mine, 37.
So 10 pages after your previous one, right?
Okay. Approximately.
All right. Can you read the question or the answer, Mr. Claybart, again? I think right. I'm close.
I made enough copies so that the witness and Attorney Van Louvenay would have a copy, I would have a copy, and the township would have two copies.
We've got a copy of what you're using.
Right, but wouldn't it make more sense to go through it based upon that transcript and simply make that transcript part of the record? It's from the same court reporter.
There's
or else this is going to be forever.
There is a title page that says excerpt of the transcript, if that helps.
I guess that's how we're going to have to do it, because otherwise we're never going to get through it. So we're going to proceed with the testimony, with the cross-examination of this witness pursuant to the excerpt of testimony transcript. Do you have one extra copy?
Have we used all the copies?
I have four. So I kept one.
I'll work with Brian. Brian and I work together. It's fine.
I can share here.
Are we good? Okay, again, this is from Mr. DiBiase.
This transcript is called excerpt.
Excerpt from.
That's what the title says.
So, okay. Do I have theirs? I'm on 85.
I have no
idea. The petrochemical.
It's not ours, it's the official transcript.
The official transcript. Is it 85?
I haven't found it yet, and I'm not going to bother, so we can keep moving here. We use the partial transcript.
All right, are you ready? Thank you. So the quote is, so petrochemicals would be the big thing. Road salt would be a big thing. Any kind of spill activity, etc., would be another concern, which is why I was looking at the target being the consolidated formation. And by target, you mean where you would draw water out of for a well, correct? That's the context of what you're testifying to here, is
yes,
it not?
Yes, that is the target for us drilling a well on site, okay. Where I would want to target that well.
Okay. So you are saying that an accidental spill would contaminate this sand and gravel layer?
No, I didn't say that. It could. The process of permitting water wells, we go through an analysis, a risk assessment.
Sir, please, you have to listen to my question.
Okay.
What I asked you is, didn't you say in this testimony that if there is an accidental spill, it could contaminate this sand and gravel level or layer that you refer to?
Yes, depending on volume.
Okay, page 49, line 4. You were asked the question.
Hold on a minute. What we were given tonight jumps from page 47 to page 61.
Still one on the other
So it must be an incomplete copy of the transcript. Does anybody else have that problem or not?
Mr. Claymore, is it possible for you to read the quote in the record for those of us who don't have one? And well, those of us who don't have one in front of us will.
Here, take my copy.
You've got old pages.
Okay, I'll take this back. Do you need this one, sir? No. All right,
page 49.
Yeah.
Line 4.
Okay.
Thank
you, sir.
Sir. You were asked by Mr. Van Lunen, and based on the information that you've evaluated, do you believe there is any potential impact to groundwater from the development of this project as described? And you answered no. Isn't that correct?
Correct.
So an accidental spill at the warehouse site is a potential impact to the sand and gravel layer. Is it or is it not?
If a spill happens, you can get contamination of the unsolid material, yes.
Okay. Now, isn't it true that an accidental spill at the warehouse site that enters the sand and gravel level is part of the aquifer beneath the losing stream, the Salt Hill Creek, and could impact the Milford Springs,
No. The unconsolidated sand and gravel material is in the Bado Zone. That's the section that's dry, it's above the aquifer. The other thing, the other mover in that sentence is the word development. I'm not developing a project where I'm dumping chemicals in the ground. There's not a project we're developing that's developing to put chemicals in the ground. So I'm talking about the development, the activity of building a warehouse and running a warehouse in that sentence. But that's what my comments related to.
Okay. Page 50, line 22. Let me know when you're there, please.
Okay.
50, line 22, you with me?
Yes.
Okay. You stated your opinion was, my opinion is the site would be suitable for a warehouse type use. Does that opinion consider that an accidental spill at the warehouse site would impact the sand and gravel below the surface?
Could you repeat the page and line number?
50, 22.
Is the question. Would you agree with
right.
that? Okay. And now you're answering Mr. Orham about his answer. Is that correct?
And my answer was no.
Okay. Would you go to page 54, line 22?
Line
22.
Found it.
You testified that the available information suggests that a large portion of the project site is actually probably in the Salt Hill Creek watershed, not connected to the spring. Is that what you testified to?
Yes.
Okay. So, your finding is something that's probably the case.
Based on available data, that's what it looks like. Is that the western portion of the site doesn't drain towards doesn't drain directly towards the Saco Creek around along Route 6.
So the large portion of the site you're referring to is what portion of the site?
Start your question again, please. Yeah. The last thing you said was the western?
Yeah, I answered your question.
Okay. The large portion of the project site you're referring to is what portion?
The western portion.
How about the remainder of the site? Did you give an opinion on that?
Yes.
Where is that opinion?
That's included in this. It's part of the second aspect of the project. We're not doing a quarry. We're not excavating down to the water table where we can create a disturbance like that was created at the quarry operation. And then I went into the review of the historical information from Baxter that shows how the aquifer, the spring, is connected to which watershed that was produced by Baxter's report, 1968.
Is that the Baker report?
Baker report, sorry.
Not Baxter, I believe. Baker. Just so we don't get confused. More confused.
Michael Baker.
Your testimony is that a large portion of the project site is actually probably in the Salt Hill Creek watershed, not connected to the spring. So wouldn't a logical conclusion of that statement be there is another portion of the project site that is probably in the Salt Creek watershed connected to the spring?
No.
That's not logical?
No. The western portion of the site does not drains to the south and discharges into the Saco Creek,
sir,
down Grayling Spring.
We're again getting in. I ask you a question, isn't that logical? And you start to give me a report. You need to answer the questions, if you would.
He did answer it. You asked, is it logical? He said no.
And then he began to testify beyond
explaining his answer.
I didn't ask him a question.
I think the witness should be able to explain his answer.
We're going to let the witness explain the answer to the question. Right.
We're going to be here for tomorrow then, because I can't get a yes or no answer out of this witness.
Well, he said no and then had to explain his answer to the question.
So the western portion of the site drains to the south.
Just a question.
Just hold on, let a question come.
So these studies that you relied upon to reach this conclusion that there's a large portion of the project site actually probably in the Salt Creek watershed, not connected to the spring, consist of what? What reports are we talking about?
That would be... It was the updated geological, surficial geological mapping.
I'm sorry, repeat that again, I apologize.
It was the updated surficial geological mapping that was done out of...
Surficial?
Geological mapping out of New Jersey. And I believe the author was Willis.